Hello, Burlington. Welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, Vermont, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. In this podcast, we will be sharing ways we can all reduce our energy use for heating, transportation, and everything we plug in, all while sourcing our entire energy supply from renewables. When we talk about transportation, it's more than just electric vehicles. These days, especially in Burlington, we can get around more and more without burning fossil fuels. I spoke with Bethany Whitaker, a member of the Burlington Electric Commission, who has thought a lot about vehicle use around the country. We talked about planning for a net zero energy future, her newfound love of e-bikes, and the concept of multimodal transit. Don't worry, she explains what that means. So let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Bethany Whitaker. So welcome, Bethany. You're a Burlingtonian and a member of the Burlington Electric Commission. Can you tell us a little bit about the commission, what you do, what your roles are, and your responsibilities?
Sure. So yeah, I've been on the Burlington Electric Commission for a couple of years now. I think maybe just before COVID started, so probably around 2 years. And we just follow what Burlington Electric's up to, provide a citizen's perspective on some of the investments that are being made, do a financial oversight, things like that, and just listen to the new projects and work that and all the great work that BED is doing.
Yeah, well, good. Thank you for that, because I know it's a volunteer job, and so we really appreciate your time and your leadership and guidance as a commissioner.
Of course. Yeah,
thanks, Bethany. So one of the things I know that the commission has recently done, i.e. in 2019, was to approve the Net Zero Energy Strategy before it went on to the City Council for full approval. So just as a recap and a reminder for our listeners, our Net Zero Energy Strategy is a means by which we are going to transition away from fossil fuels in the heating and ground transportation sectors. So when I think about it, I think sort of four key pillars. I think about strategic electrification of transportation. I think of strategic electrification in buildings. I think about the implementation of district heating. We can talk maybe more about that on another podcast. And then last but not least, sort of reducing vehicle miles traveled by 15%. So I'm really glad you're here, Bethany, because I know a couple things about you. I know that you're a transportation planner. So sort of curious how that last pillar, i.e. reducing vehicle miles traveled, sort of resonates with you personally.
Right. And I think that I am professionally, I work as a transportation planner. I also spent a couple of years working at VEIC or Efficiency Vermont. And so I did kind of get interested in energy through doing that. But most of my focus professionally has been on transportation issues. And so I think that that's kind of a new part of the energy conversation. And getting the transportation sector off of fossil fuels has been something that is new for energy, new for utilities to be involved with. So I think I know that Burlington Electric's right out in front on this issue. So it's been exciting to be on the commission and watch some of that work happen.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for bringing your skills and expertise as a transportation person to the commission. That's really great. I know that you are an avid biker as well, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's exciting to talk to you from a BED context, because you're an e-bike owner.
That's right. I live on Luma Street, so pretty central location, but I've been a one car, one vehicle household for 20 something years. And that includes at some points four licensed drivers. And so we've had to share a vehicle, which means that we've relied on bicycles for a big part of our transportation. And I did buy an e-bike relatively recently in March of this year, and that has been a game changer for me.
How do you mean game changer?
Well, I in the beginning, I was kind of against e-bikes because I sort of thought it was an easy way out. But I have, you know, and I've had a bike for a long time. It's hard to ride up the hills. It's hard to ride up in hills in winter. My chain would rot out every single year. And I just found it kind of frustrating. And then the e-bike's like total freedom because you get all the benefits of being on a bike, it gives you that assist going uphill. You can carry stuff with panniers or with a rack that's on the bike. And it's just really brought more joy into cycling for me. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. So remind me, I think you used the $200 rebate from BED.
I did. Yeah. I got the rebate. That was super easy. The bike shop, I bought it at North Star Cycles, I think it's called. But I bought it from them. They took care of it. for me. So they just took it right off the cost of the bikes. Super easy.
So essentially what we call a point of sale rebate.
Exactly.
And yep. Can you talk a little bit about buying local and why you thought that, why that was worth it to you?
The guy who runs North Star used to live on Luma Street, so I know him personally. And I was open to a lot of different brands, and I did look at a variety of bike stores. But once I went into North Star, I started talking to the owner, and he showed me lots of bikes, and I did some test drives. I just stayed with that. I think there's a lot of good choices, though, and a lot of different price points.
Yeah, and we certainly don't want to discourage anyone from buying at a non-local shop or buying online. But I think in terms of mechanics and reliability, it's always nice to have a local shop that you know is responsible.
Yep, absolutely.
And capable of fixing your bike.
Yep, and they definitely know how to work with that rebate as well.
And they know how to work with the rebate. So you mentioned sort of hills and the ease and your chains not rotting out. I'm curious now with your e-bike, are you finding that your habits have changed in terms of how much you're on a bike?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I tried to cycle a lot, but I just maybe did it with a little bit. I was a little bit grumpier when I had to do it. And then if I was on the fence, a lot of times I would just drive. And I live less than a mile from City Market or Walgreens or CVS. And so having the e-bike, it's not even really a choice for me anymore. I know that I can do it just as fast on my bike. And yeah, I don't sweat or get out of breath or anything. It's just, and it's fun. Yeah. It doesn't take much time. Yeah.
So I think that Burlington was maybe the first of its kind to launch an e-bike rebate program. But I know in your professional life, you work with other communities. I'm curious if you know if others are doing this as well or promoting e-bikes the way we are.
I haven't. And so I do work for a company that works nationally on transportation issues. And more than once, we've used Burlington Electric as a best practice for a lot of the transportation energy programs that it does, but including the rebate for electric bikes.
Oh, that's such good news, because we do like to think of ourselves as sort of being out in front and hopefully, you know, being a ripple in the pond that will have larger impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Later. And then I think the fact that all the electricity is 100% renewable is just added benefit for everybody and makes you feel even better about using that assist.
Right, exactly. So, you know, one thing that we were talking about before the start of the podcast is the degree to which people will adopt biking in general, much less e-biking, and the importance of infrastructure. This is a big piece of our net zero energy plan. We know that we can't reduce vehicle miles traveled by 15% without the appropriate infrastructure. Sort of knowing what you know about Burlington, knowing what you know about other communities that you work in professionally, sort of where do you think we stand?
So I think for Burlington we have a lot of good things. There's a lot of things about Burlington that make it easy not to drive, right? We have a downtown that has a lot of that is very centrally located. It has shopping. It has some entertainment types of things. We have, Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, all of that is right downtown. So most of that is within, you know, a mile or two, maybe not from the whole city, but from a lot of people. So, and then we also have other like nodes of neighborhoods. So things are relatively close to people. That's a big thing about helping people to reduce getting in the car, or making it easier to walk or bike. We have pretty good sidewalks, I think, through most of the city, not entirely, but mostly. And we have a growing bike lane network that I think it's really important for bike safety and for beginner cyclists to feel comfortable and safe getting on the road. Because I will say, I mean, you mentioned I've biked a lot. I'm a very confident cyclist. And so for me, I feel comfortable riding my bike on the street and in mixed-use traffic. But I know that's not true for a lot of people.
Yeah, and we do talk about equity in Burlington, the importance of ensuring that everybody feels comfortable accessing sort of the services and the amenities that we provide. And I know that Old Spokes Home recently released their equity transportation report, which said people do need to feel comfortable biking before they're going to get on a bike. So really important that all this stuff happens in tandem.
Right. And of course, people in cars don't want to hit a cyclist either. They want cyclists to have their own space. So there's to reduce those conflicts. So having a place for the cyclists to be that's separated and clear for the cyclists, I think it benefits everybody.
So, Bethany, we throw around this term multimodal transit quite a bit, and we reference multimodal transit in our net zero energy strategy. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of for people who use the term, it's multi, multiple, and then modes. And what modes really means is different types of transportation. So driving is part of that, but also biking and walking and riding the bus. And what we have in the United States, and I think this is still mostly true for Burlington, is a transportation system that's really built around one mode, which is driving. And so when we talk about multimodal or reducing vehicle miles traveled, it's really about diversifying that transportation network so that it creates space and access for people walking, biking, and riding the bus.
So based on your knowledge and experience of your work in other cities, what would you like to see for Burlington?
So I think a couple of things. One is, and I did write down a couple of statistics, I think just a couple of things to think about, that we rely on cars and private automobiles for most of our transportation. And you mentioned equity. And of course, owning a car is really expensive. Most households spend between 10 and 20% of their income on transportation. Lower income households spend even more. So to the extent to which that we can have a transportation network that means you don't have to have a car, that's a big equity issue. And that you have a transportation system that you can get access to jobs and schools and medical services and everything else without relying on a car, that is a big way to help issues related to equity, equal access to opportunities. So I think Burlington as a city does a pretty good job of that. I think there's still some improvements that we can make. And I also sort of have this vision, I think e-bikes are part of the revolution, right? Because it's something like, I wrote this statistic down, 60% of all trips are less than 6 miles, but almost 30% are less than a mile. So those are all trips that we should be walking or biking, or we certainly could be walking or biking, maybe not 12 months of the year, but maybe 10 or 9. And, this idea of the net zero energy and that we're going to reduce the amount of miles that we're driving and drive less, I think that that's our opportunity, is to find that short window, those short trips where we can ride our bikes or we can walk, and making sure that people have sidewalks, crosswalks, that there are bike lanes, that when they come to an intersection, they can get across that intersection safely, that's going to get some of those, that 30% of the trips that are a mile or less, to get people to do something other than think first about getting in their car.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So that does sound like a sweet spot. Those shorter distances lets us think about the opportunity to use a different mode other than
right,
the internal combustion
engine. Right.
We're
not asking you to bike 10 miles or even 5 miles, but just those short trips.
Mm-hmm.
I
was back to sort of the equity piece, and I do want to make a pitch for two of our partner organizations. The first is Opportunities Credit Union, mm-hmm. which offers a 0% loan for eligible households to buy an e-bike. And then, of course, Old Spokes will sell you that bike at cost. So they're not making
programs.
Any money. It's really important for people to understand that there is financial assistance available. We know that's still sometimes not enough, and it does oftentimes get down to infrastructure and the degree to which people feel safe. You also talked about the total cost of ownership of internal combustion engine vehicles and that we forget how expensive they are to own and operate. So this is a great time to pitch CarShare Vermont, which is, basically telling all of us, if you don't need to buy a vehicle, don't. We've got one for you, and we probably have one very close to where you live, work, or play. So I've just been really impressed by how much Annie has grown out her pods, and even more so how many of those cars are being supplemented by EVs. Annie's got a cadre of EVs in the car share fleet now. So not only do you not need to own a vehicle, but you can borrow one that's electric. So you too can engage in sort of the energy transformation without having to own a vehicle.
Right. And I think there's a lot of diversity of vehicles too, right? Like there's some trucks, there's cars with ski racks on them, with other racks. So you can really use car share to help you with those specific trips. I think in the United States, a lot of times we plan for this peak event, right? Like we buy a dining room table, assuming every meal is Thanksgiving. But most of the time, there's just four of us, right? And the rest of the time, we on those holidays, we might have 12. But we don't need to build for that all the time. So we don't have to always assume that we need to have a big car or a truck or the ability to tow something when we really only need that service 2 times a year or 3 times a year. You can go to CarShare and get that pickup truck when you need it.
Yeah, I really like that. We talk about building out infrastructure for that peak event, but it's true. I mean, just the way we live our lives, we don't need to have a car sitting in the parking lot only to be using it few percentage points out of the out of the day.
And we pay, like I said, we pay a lot for that privilege.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Of course,
Bethany.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast or what BED offers regarding rebates, incentives, and technological support, don't hesitate to look for us at burlingtonelectric.com, to call us at 865-7300, or to follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help, and we look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.